Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
May Advent grace, mercy, and peace be added to you at this time of preparation for our upcoming Christmas celebration this coming weekend. You have a text before you for our meditation this day from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We read this report. This is how Jesus Christ was born. His mother Mary had been promised to Joseph to be his wife. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that is, before they had sexual relations, she was found to have conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was an honorable man and did not want to disgrace her, so he decided to divorce her secretly. After Joseph had thought about it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take your wife Mary home with you, for her child is from the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened so that what the Lord said through the prophet would be fulfilled. That is the prophet Isaiah. "Look, the virgin will conceive and have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke, he did what the Lord's angel had commanded. He took his wife home with him, but did not have relations with her until she had a son. Thus far, our text. It would seem that it would be good to begin with a question on this fourth Advent Wednesday. The question, thus far, what has your Christmas perspective been as you have prepared for the 2016 holidays? You've had a good opportunity to get your perspective correct. We've looked at it from God's perspective, Mary's perspective, Elizabeth's perspective, and we'll nail it down today with Joseph's perspective. Joseph. Well, the text will tell us he was very honorable. He was considerate and not vindictive. He was a thoughtfully decisive man, something kind of unique in terms of our society today. And he was obedient to God. Well, that pins us married guys down, doesn't it? And should those who are thinking about marriage, and even men who have to have relationships in life at the workplace. Because Joseph, well, he and Mary, they're kind of like a 2-3 punch in boxing. Oh, we always hear about the 1-2 punch, right? Well, remember, Jesus is the first punch to knock out the devil. So we'll make Joseph and Mary 2-3. And they set great, great examples. Joseph is almost too good to be true, isn't he? He's kind of like that Joseph in the Old Testament, of whom no sins are mentioned, which is very unusual in the Old Testament when people are described, even people of God. Well, what are men supposed to be like in marriage or contemplating marriage or in the workplace? Honorable, that's one thing. There isn't much honor out there in society today, is there? Oh, and they're not supposed to be vindictive. Boy, that's a hard one. Especially if you're married, right? But being considerate is the key. and thoughtfully decisive, being able to make decisions and take responsibility. Boy, there's something people aren't doing today. And also being obedient to God. Today, people don't even want to acknowledge that there is a God, so they don't have to be obedient to anything except to do their own thing. But you women don't get out of this either, because Joseph is a very, very good example to females also, to be honorable wherever you are in life. Oh, and we do know that women can be vindictive, right? Getting even? But they're supposed to be considerate? And thoughtfully decisive? No. Haven't you ever read Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman who knows how to make decisions that have been delegated to her by her husband in order to get things done in an efficient, wise way, and obedient to God? And of course, that's not popular in our society today, is it? With the whole idea of, oh, the sexes are equal. And yet God talks about a woman being subordinate to her husband. Of course, he gives the bigger problem to the man, right? He says, husbands, love your wives. And the man who loves his wife will generally find a wife who is willing to be submissive in the right way, the God-pleasing way. So I guess we have a text that's for everybody today. Yes, Joseph. Let's meet Joseph, the carpenter, the earthly father-to-be of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something very special. Well, Matthew picks up where Luke leaves off. We got the perspective of Mary from Luke with the angel Gabriel speaking. Our text is going to be kind of picking up when Mary comes back from having visited Elizabeth. You see, we don't know what Joseph knows before Mary left to visit her relative Elizabeth. Remember what Gabriel said? Oh, your relative is now in her sixth month of pregnancy. And it says immediately, Mary left and went to visit Elizabeth. Maybe her mother Anne, as tradition says her name was, went with Mary down to Hebron in order to see Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we know from Luke that she stayed there until the birth of John. And even to the eighth day, she was there when John was circumcised. What did Joseph know during this whole time? Did she tell him that she was pregnant? Well, she certainly wouldn't have shown it after like 1 or 2 days. Maybe Joseph knew nothing. And when she gets back after 3 months, she still is not showing that she is pregnant. At what time did Joseph, come into the know? Well, he did come into it, and Matthew says, now, this is how it all happened, that birth thing of this Messiah who had been promised. Matthew says, his mother Mary, that is the mother of Jesus to be, had been promised to Joseph to be his wife. Now, by the way, you're going to see 6 different places in here where it infers that when you are engaged, you are already married in God's eyes. And to cut it off, the engagement, is to get divorced. That's what the text will say. Oh, I don't like to hear that, right? You know, gals will often, without doing much thinking, say yes when they're proposed to. like, wow, that'll be my only opportunity in the whole world. I'd like somebody better, but I better grab it while there's a chance. Well, engagement probably would be best to say, yes, I'll consider it. That way you aren't tied down and you can get out of it without breaking a promise to God. Because once the promise is made, it is supposed to be carried through. God respects promises. He expects promises to be kept. And one of the great sins of the last days on earth that God talks about in Romans is that people will be promise breakers. Oh, reminds us of politicians, right? Yeah, that's the world in which you and I live. And it's the world that has been ever since Adam and Eve. It's nothing new today. It's just more intensified that people are not people of their word very much anymore. God is a person of his word. He promised the Messiah. The Messiah came. Well, anyway, the text says that Mary had been promised to Joseph, and it goes on to say, when his mother Mary was betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found to have conceived by the Holy Spirit. Well, by the sixth month, she is starting to show, and Joseph would be told. And Joseph now has some serious decisions to make. So it says in verse 19, and I won't go over all these things about conceived by the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth, and all of that that we've already covered with Luke, the doctor. Remember that, very clever, that God of ours, to have a doctor report the truth of a virgin birth. What doctor would fall for that one? Unless he's a Christian and he knows the word of the Lord. So it says in verse 19, Joseph, her husband, notice he's already called her husband, even though he hasn't taken her to his home yet. You remember how marriage was in the Bible? No, they didn't have church weddings like we have. The simple ceremony was the man got engaged to the woman, got the permission of the father, the oldest brother, and then he went to prepare a place for them. Oh, does that remind you of another marriage to come? Jesus left to prepare a place for us, that he would come back and take us to our heavenly home. It's all integral to this part. So Joseph would have gone, prepared a place, and then when the time of the marriage comes, he goes back, and the marriage ceremony was they had a parade from the father's house. He paraded to the new house, and the whole procession followed. And then they celebrated as at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. So it says here, Joseph, her husband, was an honorable man. That's where we get our first point, right? He was an upright, good guy according to the will of the Lord. Maybe I should stop here and explain something to you that maybe we didn't cover. But remember in the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says that they followed all the ways and ordinances of the Lord. You can get the idea, oh, they weren't sinners, they were perfect, they were blameless, the scripture says. That means in this sense that they went to the synagogue when they should go. They lived a Christian life. Flawless? Not. They were sinners like you and me. But blameless before the Lord, that they were trying to do what the Lord wanted. So this Joseph, he's an honorable man. He lives according to the ways of the Lord the best he can under the power of the Holy Spirit, as you and I try to do. Well, being honorable, he did not want to disgrace her. He didn't run to a newspaper and publish the whole thing. that here was one who ought to wear a sweatshirt now with an A on for adultery. And you can just imagine what might have been going through Joseph's mind. Mary had been gone for 3 months. Did she have contact with someone? Oh, you'll read about it, I'm sure, somewhere along the way in our Plain Dealer. Every year they have some kind of an article that Mary was impregnated by a Roman soldier or something like that, because the virgin birth is not a popular topic among people of this world. So we have to be ready to face things like that as Christians. But he didn't want to disgrace her. He wanted to keep it quiet, but he didn't think he could marry her either, because should you marry an adulteress according to the Old Testament? Not. And so it says he decided to divorce her secretly, just to keep it down and not bring embarrassment into her life. And then he thought about this. Well, that brings us to lots of things, doesn't it? Oh, Joseph could very easily have been vindictive, couldn't he? Really ticked off that she was promised to him and now she's been unfaithful, at least from all the knowledge that he had. But he wasn't that kind of a person. He was very considerate. It's hard to be considerate in this world, isn't it? When you've been wronged, oh, we want to get even. That's just the natural old person that lives within us. But the new Adam is the one that says, let's be like Jesus. How considerate he was of that woman that was caught in adultery in John 8 and was brought to him. He wasn't vindictive. He was understanding and forgiving. That was the kind of man that Joseph was, that you and I ought to be also. And so it says, as he was considering divorcing her, he thought about it. And God lets things go only so far, doesn't he? He will not tempt us above that we are able. He's Johnny on the spot with another angel. Doesn't say it was Gabriel this time. Maybe, maybe not. In any event, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He's got a vision. And he says, Joseph, son of David. Stop right there. Very important. Don't just gloss over this like you read portals of prayer, hoping we can get done real fast to the amen and get on with the important things of the day, right? Oh, well, what happened here? He says, you are a son of David. That means he was from the tribe of Judah, as was Mary. We learned that from Luke. So this Messiah who is going to come, even though it will be a very special birth, on his mother's side, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will come out to be Judean, because he was to come from the tribe of Judah, as Genesis 49 says. On the other side, his earthly father, who will be known as his legal father in this world, Matthew will be able to tie that together to his audience, because remember what? The book of Matthew was intended for Jews. If he could convince a Jew that this Jesus of Nazareth was from the line of David, both through Joseph and through Mary, he might have himself a believer who comes and adores the Messiah, as did the shepherds and the wise men. So anyway, Joseph thought about it. The angel came and said, Joseph, remember, you're a son of David. You're from that line of the great king. And now he's going to tell him about another king that is coming. He says, do not be afraid. Remember, I told you always when the angels appear to someone, they said, fear not, do not be afraid. Well, this is a little bit different here. And Joseph was afraid because he honored God. What would God think? So the angel says, do not be afraid to take your wife Mary home with you. See the idea? Go get her, have the marriage ceremony, and take her to your home. That will solidify. That was like signing the marriage license, okay? He says, and here's the reason you should do it. Because her child is from the Holy Spirit. Wow, you mean those Old Testament people? And remember, Joseph still lived in the Old Testament. We haven't moved into the New Testament, even though it's in Matthew. Time-wise, the New Testament has not started. And so, he says this child is from the Holy Spirit, and the people knew about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Right from the beginning, it said the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters in the creation. And now we have another creation, if you will. The planting of God into the womb of Mary so that he might also become human, namely the God-man, as the two candles represent on the altar during non-communion services. One is for Jesus' divinity, one is to symbolize his humanity. And so, once again, God is way ahead of the story. The angel says you're going to have a son, not a daughter. We know the gender already. She will have a son, and this is an order. This demands your obedience. Now that you've been very thoughtfully decisive, we're now going to have you decide in a different way, and we're going to have you decide to be obedient because you will name him Jesus. You've heard me say it before. Boy, it's a good thing that they didn't name him Moses Jr. Remember what I always say about that? If Jesus would have been named Moses Jr., he would have brought us commandments 11 through 20, and we couldn't handle 1 through 10. We'd be on our way to hell. But they're going to name him after the man who took the place of Moses, Yeshua, Joshua. That's the hero after which our Savior is named. Because Moses could not take the people into the promised land, correct? But Joshua took them into the promised land. As Jesus, Joshua number 2, will take us into the promised land of heaven. And so you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because the name Jesus means Savior. To save, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. That's incentive enough to move Joseph to do what is happening. But it's verified by the angel. He quotes the Old Testament to say, Joseph, you have heard it a lot of times in the synagogue, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, though they didn't know the references at that time. And what did that passage predict? Well, the prophet had said, and now it's going to be fulfilled, he would say in verse 23, look, behold, attention, the virgin will conceive and have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. Oh, we must have that spelled wrong, right? The hymn had an E on it, right? And we got an I here. Well, when you have it with an E, that's the Greek way of doing Emmanuel. When you have the I, which they don't have a J in Hebrew, that's Emmanuel with an I. That's Hebrew. So no error whatsoever, but it is truth. It would be God with us. God, it's a very weak analogy, but I always think of Geppetto and Pinocchio, the one who makes, you know, the creature. Well, here, our God, the Creator, becomes the creature. He becomes you and me without sin, so that he might redeem us and take us to heaven. Well, what's the response of Joseph to all of this? Well, when Joseph awoke, he did what the Lord's angel commanded. he was obedient. He didn't think about it anymore and say, maybe I should stay with my first decision. No, he listened to God and he followed right now. And so it says he took his wife home with him. The marriage was consummated. But he did not have relations, that is, sexual relations with her, until she had a son. Now, you know, Dr. Luther had a lot of trouble shaking Roman Catholic tradition. You know, he came a long, long ways understanding that by faith we are justified and we are forgiven. But he had a little trouble with this virgin thing. Because, you know, the Roman Catholic Church has always taught that Mary always remained a virgin. Boy, that should put Joseph into sainthood just by his good works, right? If he wasn't ever allowed to have sexual relations with his wife. Well, Luther, in the small called articles, in the Latin version of it, called Mary Semper Virgo. That means always virgin. Okay? We do not hold to Luther's interpretation here because it says until Jesus was born, which implies that after he was born, they had a normal marriage with sexual relations which produced children. Now it is true in the Greek, when it says that Mary and Jesus' brothers appeared outside a crowd where Jesus was preaching, yes, that can mean like cousins. However, it would seem that it's a whole lot more than that, especially when we come to the books of James and Jude, who are called the brothers of Jesus. See, those were his half-brothers. They were produced by Joseph and Mary, not by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has half-brothers and sisters, we believe. And he would have had a normal home life, except for one thing. He never did anything wrong. What a child that would be like, right? Whoa. That should get shock you right there. And that probably made his brothers and sisters not real happy with him. See, you've got to put yourself into these situations and dream a little bit and imagine and try to follow what would really be going on for those first 30 years with Jesus before he is declared the Son of God at his baptism and begins his ministry. Wow, there's a lot not reported here. But what we do have reported is very, very important. And we should strive in faith and action to be like Joseph. Honorable, considerate, not vindictive. Being thoughtfully decisive and also obedient to our God. And couple that then with everything that we learned about the perspective of God toward Christmas, Mary, Elizabeth, add in Joseph now. Wow, we got some real striving to do, do we not? To get ourselves in the right perspective for this coming weekend with our celebration of the 2016 Christmas. May God give you the right perspective in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.